Bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we pray this day your word will be preached and your presence will be made known and your way followed. In Jesus' name. Good morning. I'm not sure if you're having much fun as I am, but working with the Galatians is always an insight, and there are so many new things we can learn about grace and its meaning. And I want to challenge you on the thought that Galatians may very well be the most important book in the Bible. And if you ask any of your friends that, they'll give you quite an argument, because we all have our favorite ones that have talked to us. For me, it's John. But if we took Galatians out of the Scripture, it'd be interesting to see what we would know about grace and how much it would be diminished. And this is the foundation of our church, the whole church. We are saved by grace, and so we need to understand it. And when we read about grace, we need to have certain principles of grace that we understand. As we read it, then it will make some sense. And the principle of grace is that it is unconditional and that it is inclusive. And so grace, which is unconditional and inclusive, is in all of us always, unconditionally, inclusively. Now, the point is, though, that we are not always in the grace. And so when we're out of God's grace, we are what Paul calls, we are in the flesh. And we need to know how to get into, access that grace of God, and then to understand what the fruit of that Spirit is. And so Paul says that the flesh is opposed to the Spirit, and the Spirit opposed to the flesh. A basic teaching of Christianity, which is critical to understand, if you want to understand grace. And other religions, sort of on the fringe area, but don't really bring it right in there, is the fact that we are schizophrenic. We are two people. Paul says in Romans 12, he said, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Conformed is the Greek word schizo, in the sense that there are two people within us. When we are out of God's grace and in the flesh, we are a different person than we were in God's grace and we are in the Spirit. Now, it's important to understand the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. And in one sense, it's a certain formula that, as a German engineer mentality person, I get it. I know a lot of times women don't like formulas, but maybe this can click with some folks. But the formula for the flesh is E plus T equals F. In other words, the event creates a thought, which creates a feeling. And so when something happens, that's the truth. It happened. But our perspective of what happens creates a reality. Now, that reality is your reality or my reality, and that's who we are, is that reality that we have created. In the flesh, we have created that old self. And your reality is different than my reality, and sometimes people actually think their reality is the truth. And if we think our reality is the truth, then anybody who doesn't have the same reality has got to be wrong. But the point is that there are different realities. Just like the example of that would be in the 911. There are people that went through very similar experiences in 911, lost loved ones. Now, some of those people are still in their grief, pain, agony, suffering, and for them there is no closure. There will be no closure. But there are other people who have found disclosure and have been able to move on with their life. And it's the same event, but two different perspectives, two different kinds of results. And so E plus T equals F is what being in the flesh is, creating our own person. But in God's Spirit, it's the exact opposite. It is a whole transformation. The word transformation is metamorphosis, which would happen with Jesus in terms of the transfiguration. It's a whole transfusion. We change our way of thinking. And the way we change it is we go from F to T to E. It's the exact opposite. Because when we get in God's grace and we're experiencing the love of God, then as we begin thinking, we are thinking out of that love of God, and we'll see the situation entirely different than the same person you and I seeing it when we're out of God's love, feeling unloved or insecure, and seeing the same event. And so it's our choice in terms of who we want to be. And who we are really doesn't depend who we are. It depends where we are, if we're out or if we are in. And so we have to understand that language because Jesus uses it all the time. And you see, he said to the Pharisees, the reason you don't understand me is because I'm coming from above and you're coming from below. You're coming from the world and I am not coming from the world. Because coming from the world, you see, is using our rational thinking. Rational thoughts see what is seen. Our conscious thinking sees what is unseen, senses it. And so when Jesus is saying, I'm coming from the spiritual side, sensing God's presence, I will see things differently than you will because you're coming from the rational side and you can't get in the spiritual side with the rational kind of thinking. We've got to get into it spiritually with a conscious thinking. And so understanding how to get in the Spirit and stay in the Spirit. That's what Paul says. He said, now, if you live in the Spirit, we need to walk in the Spirit. The New Translation says guided, but the actual word is walking in the Spirit. And so to get in the Spirit, we have got to be willing to use our conscious faculty that can sense that which is unseen. And that's not really a hard thing to do, but it's making that switch. If right now, and the way I find it the easiest for me is right now, if you can just think about someone that you care about that is not here, that's not a hard thing to do. Think about someone you care about who is not here. Now, as you're thinking about them, take a moment and sense their presence. That's not hard to sense a loved one's presence who is not here. And if you did that, you did something different than just a moment ago when you were thinking about them. And the point is, you could never tell anyone what you did because it's not a rational act, it is a conscious act. But I know what you did, everyone else knows what you did, and you know what they did because it's the same thing, moving from the rational to conscious. And if you actually are doing that, if you're sensing that loved one's presence, it doesn't take much then to sense the presence of the Spirit of Jesus that is close to you right now than anybody else is. And you can begin to sense that peace of God. And as we're sensing that peace, then we are in the Spirit, and to be able to walk in the Spirit is then to be able to use the rational thought. What happens is when we start using the rational, it knocks off the conscious, but we need to stay conscious. I think the interesting thing is that the rational thought can only think of one thing at a time. If a man is watching a football game and his wife comes by and asks him to do the chores and he'll say, yes, dear, but he won't hear a word she's saying because he's listening to the football game. And the point is that you can be conscious about a lot of things. You could be listening to me rationally and you could be conscious about the heat of the building and the lighting and folks around you. And so if right now you are sensing that presence and listening to me rationally, you are walking in the Spirit. Like right now, it's not hard for me just to sense God's presence consciously, and at the same time, I can be talking rationally with you. And when we're in that position, we will, in terms of being in God's love, think, feel, and act in a different way than when we're out of God's presence. And so to understand that the up is using spiritual faculties to focus on the presence. So when we pray that prayer, our Father who art in heaven, heaven is not a position, it is a condition. It is the presence of God. And so when we're in the presence of God, the Father, then we can begin having his will done on earth as it is in heaven because we bring the presence down here, rationally doing it, we'll be acting in God's love. So Paul says the fruit of when we are in the presence and walking in the Spirit, the fruit is love. And it's kind of interesting because we've all heard some teachings about the fruits of the Spirit, but that's not what Paul said, was it? There's only one fruit. All the others are manifestations of the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, just like in 1 Corinthians 13, where he says God is kind, gentle, and so on. It's the same group that he has here in Galatians, because the fruit is love. And so you don't pray for a peace or a joy. It's all there. It's just all part of that sense of the unconditional and the inclusive love of God. Now, what was happening in that parable today, which is so familiar to us, the key was, who is my neighbor? And you have to understand the background of that, because Jesus said, And he took from Deuteronomy today, he took, you must love your neighbor, and he took from the Leviticus, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And these two commandments, out of all the others, hang all the law and the prophets. They're not out of the Ten Commandments even. They're just two separate. So you know 12 of them if you know those two and the 10. But he said all the law and the prophets are hung on this act of love. And so what they were saying is, you see, because the Jewish people then, as many people today, believe that the only people who could be saved would be people in the covenant relationship. And so you could love God, love your neighbor, yourself, and be in the covenant relationship, and this do, and you will live. But anybody out of the covenant, they aren't part of that freedom and that gift. And what Jesus was saying was that they are, but if he said it openly at that time, he would be disregarded. And so the lawyer was trying to get him to say that people outside the covenant could actually be saved. And they didn't believe it, and they were holding against it. So the lawyer said to Abdel, what should I do? Love God, love your neighbor, yourself. This do, and you shall live. Who is my neighbor? And so Jesus tells that wonderful story about the man who is beaten up and left half dead, and a priest comes down, and it's interesting, it's on the road to Jericho. You see, because I used to think, well, he's going to celebrate down in Jericho, and I realized that only priests would celebrate in the temple. Only in the temple was there a celebration. So he was going down there not to do anything priestly, but Jericho was the sin city. And so what happens in Jericho stays in Jericho, but whatever is going on there, but he was giving a little slap to that. But anyway, he was a man of the covenant. And here's a covenant person, and he passes by. And then comes a lay person who's dedicated, and he's a person of the covenant. And he sees the person, he passes by on the other side. And then comes a Samaritan who is not part of the covenant. And he has pity on him, and he pours wine and oil, takes him to the inn, leaves him there, comes back, and takes care of any expenses. And so the question is, who was the neighbor? And he makes the lawyer say, the one who showed mercy, in other words, the one who was outside the covenant. And so he gets the lawyer to say, it's people that are outside the covenant as well as inside that you would show mercy to. And so God's love is unconditional, and it's inclusive, and it's for all people. And we as Christians need to share that and share the example of what difference it makes when we are in that spirit and in God's love. And sometimes when we're out, we tend to be that exclusive and we want to exclude, and there's certain conditions that we'll do and certain conditions we won't. One of the most interesting stories that I ever heard was the one coming out of the oral tradition in the Jewish religion. And a story about Abraham. And Abraham was in his tent in the desert, and there was this huge desert storm out there. And in the evening, and an old man broke through the wraps and just fell on the ground, and he was half dead. And Abraham gave him some water and got him up, and he said, now we're going to have a meal here. And God saved your life, and I want you to thank God for saving your life. The old man said, well, I don't know your God, and I hate your God, and I spit on your God. And Abraham grabbed the old man and threw him out. And that night as he prayed to God, he said, God, I had a person in this tent who disrespected you, and I threw him out. And God said, lo, these many years I put up with that old man, and you couldn't put up with him for one night. And that's the way it is. God calls us to show that mercy no matter who's in or out of the covenant. It doesn't matter. It's God's people and God's love, and so we share that unconditional, inclusive love of God, which is the grace of God. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, grant this day that we might see thee more clearly and love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, in Jesus' name. Amen.